Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. That's Betty Wright. Your husband's cheating on us, okay? Okay. Welcome to another episode of Delicious Talk. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm winging it myself by myself this evening. My co-host is off. This is the long holiday weekend, fireworks, cookouts, family reunions. Mine is on Monday, the 4th of July, family tradition that we've done for almost 40 years, meeting in the park, having cookout, you know, family gathering, games. It's just one big ball. We do this every year. And hopefully all you guys that are going to cookouts, family reunions, have a safe one. Be careful. And don't drink and drive, and don't drive and drink, because I like talking to you, not about you. Okay, tonight's topic is meet the cheatologist. And the cheatologist is one who studies and identifies with the underlying causes and effect of lies, betrayal, and cheating in relationships, and seeks to find solutions within the issues that propels one to cheat. So if you've ever been cheated on, contemplated cheating, or you are cheating, this show is definitely for you. So you can log in to chat in the chat room or call in. The call-in number is 1-646-652-2877. And if you don't hear the show tonight, you can always pull it up on the archives. I'm going to see if this is my guest on the line here. Ra, is that you? Hello?
So I'm here. How you doing?
I'm okay, and yourself?
Great, thank you.
Okay. You want to first tell us a little bit about who Ra is? Give us a little background on you.
Okay, Ra I'm just a normal person. I've been married. I've been married for a long time. Well, 8 years. And during that 8 years, I found so much out about myself that I have found out in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I was married. Well, right now, I am an author. I'm a publicist. And I publish books. And I write screenplays.
Oh, okay.
Terminology. The cheatologist, mm-hmm. the fact that I study, I now do a lot of research on the epidemic of cheating.
Okay, let me ask you a question, because understand that cheating is a taught or learnt behavior. Even though some men cheat out of, I guess you would say, not really a necessity, but say like if you're in a relationship and your wife is ill, but, you know, you still can love your wife, but you are missing that sex, so you go out and you cheat. So what are your basis on that?
Well, men don't always cheat for sex.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that men are missing within themselves, and sometimes they go from woman to woman seeking fulfillment of something that they miss in themselves. It's not always sex, but you do have that man who is addicted to the thrill of pleasing other women and maybe getting his pleasure as well. But it's not always about sex. I was a man to cheat.
Okay. Well, would you say that it's a learned behavior or taught behavior, or you know, how does that come about?
It's definitely a learned behavior, but it's also a natural response. Men cheat when they respond to situations that they feel that they have no control over. So they feel that it's natural for them to have more than one woman. But, I mean, that's another topic that we're going to speak later on tonight about,
mm-hmm.
you know, response to wanting more than one woman, because that is in man's nature. But
mm-hmm.
as far as the immoral aspect of it, it's definitely a learned behavior, and it has been allowed or condoned since childhood. A young boy be in school, and a lot of girls like him, and the dad say, "Oh, my son gonna be a player," and then that
mm-hmm.
and him that it's okay to have more than one woman, because that's gonna become your identity as you get older. If you don't have more than one woman, then you're not no player. And then you're not no man. So that's
right.
Where the learn aspect comes from.
Wow. Okay. Now, we are talking about men cheaters, but they say that women cheat better than men. Would you agree to that?
Cheat better?
Or are men, yeah, are men choppy, sloppy cheaters? I've always heard that men are sloppy cheaters and women cheat better than men. Is that a myth or is there any truth to that?
There's a lot of truth to that due to the fact that a woman is more discreet. A lot of women are more discreet with their infidelities and their deception. And it's been going on for a long time that women have hid, have had children, and for years men thinking that it was their children and found out that that wasn't really the father. So that goes to show that women have been deceptive for a long time. Better cheater, I'm trying to find a better wording than a better cheater. She just cover her tracks more, and she, a man cheats so much and don't pay attention to his woman. That's why she get away with a lot of things that are, that could be obvious to his eye if he paid more attention to his woman.
So you say it's more of a thing where if he paid more attention to her, he could pick that up.
He'd pick it up. He'd be able to pick it up. But a woman is still very clever, again, in her deception. And like I said, she's more discreet with it. She just don't cheat with it. Now, this is some women, because some women are just reckless, and they don't care if the man find out or they're asleep with somebody right next door. But a lot of women are very careful. They select who they want to cheat with. It's somebody that they know. It's somebody maybe at their job. It's somebody who got more to lose, just like she got more to lose. So they're going to both be quiet. But a woman is real, very selective with who she chooses to cheat with. That's why it's so hard to really catch her, because she's smooth, so to speak.
Okay, now, also, understand that you, I don't know if you rehabilitate cheaters or what, but what about the saying, once a cheater, always a cheater? Does that hold any merit? Can a person who cheats, who is a chronic cheater, change his ways?
Yes, he can, but that's something that he got to work on every day. That's just like a person's smoking. A person stop smoking for a year and then get that urge or be in a situation when he pick up that cigarette, then again, he's a smoker again. But for the years of him not smoking, he's the next smoker. You know what I'm saying? So it's something that got to be worked on every minute of the day, every minute of the hour, and every hour of the day. But this is a very serious. Once you open up the door to cheating, you open up the door to other evils. And cheating comes from a trait that's in a person's personality. And a person really got to eradicate all that out of the system, which is a hard thing to do. Because as long as the soul is in a body, the devil is always going to try to tempt it to do what it's not supposed to do. You understand what I'm saying? So
right.
It's a battle. But once a cheater, always a cheater. I was a cheater. I'm not a cheater now. So, and I'm maintaining. However, I do get urges to, I can't say that either, but right now I just have more control and make better decisions.
Okay. So, because, go on, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, because I was kind of done with that.
Right, because, I want to expound on that a little bit. You said that, you know, like a person who, like a drug addict or somebody who smokes cigarettes, they get those urges. What would you suggest to a person, if you're counseling them or whatever, and they come to you and they say, well, I'm getting this itch and, you know, I feel like I want to go out and, you know, cheat or be with somebody else. You know, what would you say to that person? How would you deter them from that?
Okay. You have to really inquire deep within yourself. You gotta start asking questions. I mean, you really have to really do an introspection. You gotta, like, did you start cheating before you got married? Mm-hmm. Did you cheat in all your relationships? Did you stop commuting? What did you do in a relationship that made you think it was okay or justifiable to cheat? What happened in your life to make you think that it was okay to cheat even from the beginning? But the main thing a person got to do is really submit and humble himself to God. If we don't get back to that, there is no recovery. There is no recovery after that. So if, because you, as you see, it's a lot of people that's really supposed to be high officials, into the church, preachers, leaders, and they getting caught having children outside of the marriage. But if you don't have that personal relationship with God and that real fear, then you open up the door to the devil and say, come here, I got something for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a lot of high officials. I was just watching the news, and Chris Hansen, who does, I don't know if you get it, well, I'm sure you've probably seen the program that he does, Busted Predators. Have you ever seen that program?
Yes, yes.
Okay, it was just on the news that he's cheating on his wife, and you look at these guys who, you know, are married, and you know, you're thinking that they're happily married, and, you know, everything's peachy clean. Arnold Schwarzenegger, what's the guy, the golfer. You know, you really can't see these things going on until it becomes public. So, and even President Clinton, you know, he never had sex with that female. But, you know, when I think anytime you go outside of your relationship with someone else that's cheating, you know, whether you kiss them, touch them, or do anything inappropriate with another person that's not your life partner, you know, and you do it with somebody else, that's cheating. Would you consider that?
Well, I consider, I'm sorry, can you repeat the last thing you said?
Okay, if somebody, say, like, for instance, you and your wife, and you're seeing another woman, if you even touch her, kiss her, you know, or either, you know, you're just out on a date with this other person, would you consider that as cheating as well?
You don't touch her, but you dating her. Or you preparing. It's almost like preparation for cheating.
Mm-hmm.
See, what I want to point out is if a person pinpoint what compels them to cheat, it can really help them to know what to stop, you know, what to stop thinking that helped them combat the urge to cheat. You understand what I'm saying? They got to know what situations that they was in that forced them to cheat. And they got to avoid them situations. Men, it was some religious documents that I have read. And I can't remember. It was years ago. And it was saying that a man should not be alone with a woman because the third person that's with them is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot of situations. And, you know, I mean, we can meet in his business. That's another thing. But if you're meeting with a person with the intentions of seducing them, 9 times out of 10, somebody is going to get seduced. Because you're going there for that. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to avoid those situations. Because a person can't fall into cheating. A person can't, and their clothes fall off. Or, and they fall on top of the woman. There's no mistakes with that. Those are constant.
Yeah, because you can't fall in on top of somebody and have sex with them and call it a mistake.
Yeah, you can't fall inside somebody. You can't, oops, oh, wait a minute. You're pregnant. Oops, I'm sorry. You know, that's, none of that is a mistake. All that is conscious decisions that we make. So we got to change. We got to change how we think. We got to stop looking at our relationships as burdens. We got to stop looking at our wives and our significant others as somebody who, somebody I just live with.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stop thinking like that, and we got to really start taking our relationship serious, because the cultivating of a good relationship can help us with peace. Peace within helps us to be more humble and submissive to God. But when we got a mm-hmm. whole bunch of things going on in our lives, we don't even think about no commitment. We can't even commit ourselves to God. How are we going to commit ourselves to a human being? We can't even commit ourselves to a human being. So how are we going to commit ourselves to God?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's serious. And like I said, it's something that's constant. Even me, I'm not above anybody that I'm speaking to, and I'm not lecturing anybody or anything like that. I just want people to take this as information. Information for you, information for me.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
No, and it's serious.
That is true. So, oh my goodness, my computer. Oh, okay. So let me ask you this. When you were cheating on your wife, what caused you to go out there?
I was never committed in any relationship I ever been in, even me stepping into my marriage. I had good intentions. I thought that my marriage would save me, would rescue me from my past life. So by getting married, I said, okay, I'm going to get married now, so I don't got to worry about cheating and so on and so forth, because I was never taught how to be a man or how to treat a woman. I just picked that up from when I was growing up. And mm-hmm. I'm not using that as a justification, because I still made the decision to do what I did. But there wasn't no role models in my life or around me, because everybody around me had more than one woman. Even my father was married, but he was sleeping with my mother.
Oh, okay.
So my mother, and she passed away, so may God have mercy on her soul. My mother was never in a committed relationship, and every man that I can remember was married that my mother dealt with.
Wow, so your mom was never married to your father?
Was never married to my father.
Okay, so she basically, so it wasn't a thing where you had to learn how to treat a woman, because your mother was cheating as well, right?
Yes.
Because
and
she
then,
was with?
No, she was never with anyone, you know, in a committed relationship. Mm-hmm. My mother was a floater,
mm-hmm.
for a better term. It was more like, I'm with this man, he's paying bills, he's giving me money, he stopped, all he wanted sex, oh, nope, you got to go. Let me, you know, and it was always a replacement. And as I was getting, you know, you young, and the men are giving you money, like, here go a dollar, go to the store, or $5. You don't care about the men that she with. All you think about is, my mom got a new friend, he going to give me some money.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you don't know, your mother never sat you down and nor your father, and said, this is not the right way to go. So don't do what I'm doing. You have to do better. Nobody never sat me down. Again, I'm not using that as a justification, but as you get older, your habit become your lifestyle.
And once you have a lifestyle of cheating, it's hard to stop. You born again, you really, really have to be born again. Almost like dead and come back to life to have a new life. Because it's really, really hard to change. It can happen, but it's something that it got to be put into practice every day. It can't be talked about. It can't be just written about. It has to be actually put into practice.
Mm-hmm.
Easy for me to say, I'm not a cheater anymore. It's easy for me to say that now. But what happens is situations come in front of me, and I say, you know what? I always wanted that girl. And now she had made herself available for me to touch, for me to get to. Now there go my test. When I fell that test, I've been in several situations like that, and I turned it down. But I thought about it, but I said, no. No more options to cheat in my life. Because once you have that option to cheat, there go that choice. There go that doorway. We got to eliminate the option to even cheat on our wives and our girlfriends. We have to stop. We have to eliminate it. There is no option to cheat. There is no other woman but my woman. There is no other wife but my wife. And I'm not going to replace her for nobody. Yeah, you look nice. Yes, I'm attracted. You're beautiful. We can't even be attracted to other women. We can just look at them and say, okay, and boom, let it go. We can't even turn a lot of attraction no more because attraction opens up doors. It was a lady who was with me, a young lady, and we was watching TV. Now, me and this lady supposed to be together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, man, I would love to sleep with him. Just like that. So I just looked at her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. So if she just can say that blatantly like that, I'm like, so what else is she thinking or who else is she meeting out in the street and was like, yeah, I want to get with that person. And but then she said, well, we're supposed to be able to say stuff like that, you know, just say what we feel. We don't got to act on it, but, you know, we can say what we feel. I didn't agree with that.
Why didn't you agree with it?
Because
like she said, she could say it but don't act on it, because there's a lot of things that people think in their mind and they don't execute those thoughts. So what was the problem with her, you know, saying that, you know, just saying it, you know,
well,
and she's not thinking of acting on it?
First of all, there should have been modesty with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with a woman saying, man, I wish I could sleep with that man, but I'm not going to act on it. A lot of us have thoughts. But
mm-hmm.
to come out blatantly and say that, you're not too far from action, because thoughts motivate you, motivate actions. Thoughts motivate actions.
Mm-hmm.
No action without thought. You know what I'm saying? There's no action without thought. So if you think it like that, all it takes is a situation like that, similar, that you are attracted to, and who say you won't succumb to that situation? So whatever is in your mind is meant for your thoughts. But for you to say that out, boy, I would love to sleep with him. That was disrespectful, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, you know, it depends on, you know, like you said, if she said that out. But sometimes when you think thoughts in your, you know, it's in yourself, you know, you don't really have to execute them, because I be thinking a lot of things. I was thinking of killing my supervisor one time, you know, but I never said that out. It was just a thought I had because I was so angry at that particular time. So, you know, I guess, you know, I don't know if I had to set it out, but I've told people, you know, I wish I could just kill her. She gets on my nerve, you know. But I guess it really depends on the individual's constitution and how well they, you know, how strong they are before they execute any types of thoughts that they may have, you know, she may have just been saying that at that moment. You know, she may have felt that because I've seen guys, you know, but I never out and out said, you know, I want to sleep with him. Not unless I was talking with, you know, one of my girlfriends or something like that. But, you know, that those are just thoughts.
Friends, yeah. That's what you do with your little girlfriends, because I know you get around, guys get around like, oh, man, look at that. I'll tear that thing up. But to be with your significant other and to say that and then think it's okay to say that, it's okay for us to say that. Let me say something like, well, I'm going to man, I'll tear that up right there. Then this is a different thing coming from a man, but now women think that we're supposed to accept that disrespect and say, okay, that's cool. That's just like watching, you know, something on TV and you see it, you see the beauty of that woman, but you don't say, I wish I can sleep with her or I'll do this to her. I just thought that was disrespectful. Not to go off what we was talking about, but I'm going to tie it back into what I was saying about the thoughts. We got to change how we think.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Because if you're constantly thinking something, eventually you may execute those thoughts. But, you know, like I said, I had that thought of wanting to kill my supervisor. And, you know, I've been retired for almost 6 years, but I had seen her recently, and it just, you know, all those thoughts ran across my mind, and I said, well, you know, I'm done with her, you know. But it was just things that was happening at that particular time that caused me to say that. But, you know, now that you had mentioned, she has said this in front of her significant other now. That's a little bit, too much, you know, because she could think those thoughts, you know, and not say them out loud. But if she said that in front of her significant other, that is a bit disrespectful, and I don't think she should have. I would never have done anything like that in front of my significant other, even, you know, when I had a significant other and, you know, we'd be out and about. And I may see guys that look good, you know, I might look at them and, you know, have my little thoughts in my head, but I would never, ever, ever say what was going on in my head.
Yeah. Because that's, I mean, We have thoughts, but everything is not to be acted upon. But the more you think about something, you pushing that door open more and more for it to become a reality. Thoughts create our reality. You know what I'm saying? Thoughts create our reality. Because behind our actions are thoughts. And then the intentions behind them thoughts will create the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. I think I have a couple of callers on the line. Let me bring them in. Caller 214, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question or comment for the geologist?
Well, I guess the issue that I wanted to bring up, Delicious, was that sometimes people, when they say things like, you know, saying, boy, I really want to, you know, get up on that, or that guy's really attractive, I think people say things in order that their significant other or someone around them knows what's in their mind and knows what they're capable of, so that they can say, you know, they're saying, look, you know, I may be capable of this, so you might want to, you know, kind of watch me more closely. Because I might be capable of it. I'm not keeping it in my mind. I'm not keeping it secret so that I go out and do it. I'm putting it out there in front of you so that you know what's in my head. So you can ask me, well, what is it about that guy that you think is so sexy? What about, you know, the guy you think is so attractive? You know, what is it that I can do for you that, you know, gets you in that same frame of mind? I think that anyone who keeps it quiet actually is more, it's more in line to possibly cheat than a person just goes out and says what it is that they like and says what it is that they think is attractive, because they're not trying to keep that away from their significant other. They're trying to share their thoughts with their significant other, because that's all they are, their thoughts, and they're sharing that thought. I mean, I think it would be different if they, you know, held it inside, didn't say that it was something that they wanted to do, somebody that they were attracted to. You know, you just say it, get it over with, and move on.
Well, I disagree with that, because I think that was spontaneous
for a woman to say that. But when you see, when you think of something, when you think of something and don't let it out yet, you rationalize and then say, okay, that's not the right thing to say, so I'm not going to say that. But to blatantly come out for tear that, if a man was to say that, if your man was to say that,
I would laugh. If he said it, I would laugh. Because we're secure in our relationship. He can say whatever he wants to say. I know, because all it is talking. And he's allowed to talk, and he's allowed to have thoughts, and, you know, he's allowed to share them with me without me going crazy and acting like my feelings are hurt. I mean, I know what I bring to the table, so that doesn't scare me that he thinks someone is attractive.
Well, that's the same thing. That's the same thing with me. Of course, I'm very confident, but I just think that certain things shouldn't be said. And that there, I don't think should be said. Especially,
well, I mean, if you think that it's impolite and you thought it was not nice or inappropriate, I mean, I can understand that. But as far as dealing with your relationship, I don't see how that makes any person either more or less likely to cheat. Some people are just demonstrative that way. They just say what comes into their mind. They say it and it's gone. And it didn't mean anything except the reaction to something they saw right at that moment. But if they're sitting next to a person who's a significant other who takes those things to heart, now, you know, like you've internalized that thing. And you've been thinking about it for I don't know how many years this thing has plagued you, such as you're here talking about it now. That thing she said was in her mind, out her mouth, and gone. She probably doesn't even remember she said it. You know, and it still got you because it hurt you, and you didn't tell her right then. That thing you said just now hurt me. You know, I thought it was rude. I thought it was thoughtless, and you should have told her. You know, don't talk like that in front of me because I find it offensive. And she may have said, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to say that. I thought I was just kidding around. You know, I was just trying to get something started. I didn't mean to offend you. But you didn't give her an opportunity to tell you because you didn't. On the one hand, I think that, you know, we all want to play the quote-unquote mature adult. You know, none of us wants to think that we're childish. So when something like that happens, our first reaction is to hold it inside us and we're not going to say anything, you know, because I'm going to be the adult. I'm going to take the high road. But there's nothing wrong with telling somebody that you thought something they said was offensive, and you should have because it did offend you.
Yeah, that's true. I do agree. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I think that's problematic. And I know that just, you know, a lot of us have that problem. You know, we want to take the high road, and we always want to think, okay, I'm going to be the adult in this relationship. But when you do that, sometimes you're the one who suffers because they think that the thing they did was okay. You know, and she'll, you know, maybe she said it again or she did it again because you never said that's not okay. Don't do it again. You know, there's going to be, you know, repercussions if you do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that is true. How you been, Penelope?
I've been fine. I've been out and about. I've been working my ass off. But, you know, hopefully tomorrow, I mean, I know tomorrow I'll be back doing my show, but it's been a rough week. I mean, I need this vacation. I need this Monday off. I need another one.
Okay. Well, we have another call on the line. We're going to bring them in.
All right, you take care, Delicious. And you too,
okay,
Rob.
Thanks, Penelope.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
202-248, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You have a question or comment for the cheatologist?
I have a comment. I'm thinking that maybe when the woman made the statement to him about she wanted to get with that guy, it could also be a term that she wanted to probably see what his response was or to make him jealous or something. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was my comment.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sometimes.
So I want to know, how is he doing now? What is his life about now?
I'm
hello?
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, I'm no longer cheating. I'm more focused on my career, raising my children, and just maintaining my good relationship with God.
Oh, praise the Lord. How long was you a cheater, and how long have you been married now?
Well, I'm divorced now.
You're divorced. Are you raising your children from your divorced wife that you was cheating on?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
I said you're raising your children from your divorced wife that you was cheating on?
So I have custody of my children, yes.
Okay, let me ask you this. So you're not married?
No.
And you don't think you'll ever get married because of your cheating? Is that what you're saying?
No. It's just that it's been 5 years now, you know, since the divorce. So I've just been, you know, I'm not just going to marry a person just to marry, just to say I'm married again. You know, you really got to be very careful with a decision like that. I'm more prepared and more qualified to maintain the decency in a relationship, in a marriage. But it's right now, you got to be very selective because, you know, a lot of people are marrying for the wrong reasons.
Right, I understand that. Do you ever think you'll get married, and are you in a relationship now?
Yes. I for sure, I think I will be. I prefer to be married. I prefer to be married than having the ability to choose whatever woman I want to be with. Did I answer your question?
Sort of, kind of, because you're still searching to be with. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna say this. Said you are in a relationship now, and you have the ability to choose what type of woman you want to be with. That's what you just said?
No, I said I prefer marriage over, you know, being able to choose. See, when you marry, that option to choose, okay, maybe I shouldn't be married, let me go find somebody else. When you marry, you're in a committed
relationship, right?
So even when sometimes when you're in a relationship, you still can be like, I don't know if I want to be with this person. Let me try something else. But when you marry, you make that decision, like, this is the one I want to be with. So that's why I said I prefer marriage than being in a relationship. And maybe I'm going to stay here, maybe I'm not. I don't like situations like that.
So are you in a relationship now? Hello?
Did you hear me?
No, I didn't. I think we were both breaking up. I said, are you in a relationship now?
I am. I'm current relationship, yes.
Okay. So I take it that you're not cheating on that relationship right now, right?
Not at all.
Okay.
That's
then
how
won't
I know
you
I'm
marry the woman? You're not in love with her? Or are you making sure
well,
that...
No, well, we just started this relationship, so...
Oh.
It hasn't even been...
like that. But I just think that you say that you are no longer cheating, and I don't know, maybe the woman is not in love with you, or maybe you're not in love with her. But you want to make sure that is the right person, then
you choose to marry, yeah.
I'm going to get kind of personal here. So you're not having sexual relations with this woman right now, are you?
Yes.
Okay. So how long have you been with this lady?
I've been with this young lady.
There's a point to my questions of madness.
6 months.
6 months.
Yes.
It's a short period of time.
Yeah.
So what's the method?
You have no desire to cheat on your sister.
No desire at all. no questions, and not making up, and not even open to it.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Cheatologist.
Cheatologist. That's something.
This is inmate Reginald Haynes. How long have you been here?
Quite a few years now. Too long. Whatever it is, too long.
What are you serving time for?
Now I'm serving time for armed robbery.
It looks like you're going to be in the record business. You think it's a pretty good idea?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, not before myself, of course, and I got the guys that I'm singing with, and because of our plans in the future, you know, for the group and the things that we want to do in this institution.
I didn't mean to play that song. Let me. Sorry about that.
I'm like, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, give me one more chance.
Here we go. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
That's a song for a cheetah.
Yeah, right? I try to listen to the word, like.
Here we go.
Take a look over your shoulder. Say, you, come over here. Sit down and let me rap to you. I used to say I wasn't sincere, baby. But when you needed me most, I wasn't there. Thank you.
Okay, that's the escorts. Look over your shoulder. Did I hear someone call my name?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
this is Penelope. Yeah, I'm calling you because I cannot get into your chat room to save my life, so I just want to let you know that.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on. Some people can, some people can't. I don't know. But I have a question for Raw. Was there any comparison to the women you cheated on with your wife? You know, because some guys, they, you know, be with another woman and they say, because my wife doesn't do this or she's that. And, you know, what was the reasons exactly that you cheated on your wife? You know, like I said, was there any comparisons that you made with other women?
No, I would. That was just. I would use that as a justification, like saying, "Oh, maybe you ain't clean up the house, or you keep leaving dishes in the sink, or pick up these children's toys." That. But when I go over the mistress' house, her house is always clean. Her dishes is all, you know, I use that as a justification, but there was no real comparison because I really had a good woman. My wife was really a good mother to the children and a good wife to me. It's just that I was just greedy and I just wanted more. Because I was never content. I was never content and satisfied with being with one woman because I never knew being with one woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Maybe.
Go ahead. Anything else was a justification?
Right, because I've noticed some guys say that, you know, I do love my wife. It's just that I'm greedy. And, you know, a lot of men were basically cheating for the sex. Some men were cheating for different reasons. And, you know, like I said, some men basically were doing it for the sex. So my thing is, if you want the sex to be better, then maybe you should work on your relationship at home before you go out there, you know, trying to get it from somebody else. Because if that's the case, you just might as well go on and be out there with that other person anyway.
Yeah.
Because the sex at home is going to get shorter and shorter, and then it's going to get to the point where it's going to be nothing.
Yeah, nothing. And then that's going to give you another incentive to be out there anyway because, okay, she's not having sex with me. And then we push it on the woman, and then we have the woman start thinking, well, maybe it is me, so maybe I should accept what he's doing, and maybe I should give him more sex. But most women who withdraw and don't have sex, shortly after that, they don't even want to be in a relationship no more. Not just because of the sex, but they just lose the drive to love you anymore. Women don't leave men just because they cheat. They leave them when they just lose the drive or they stop loving them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so fed up with the nonsense. It's like, yo, it's not even worth going through all this.
Mm-hmm. I have a little announcement to make. My switchboard is gone, so I don't know what's going on. But I just thought I'd make that little announcement.
I have a question.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
I tuned in kind of late. So I want to know, when did the cheater realize that he wanted to stop cheating? What made him realize that he no longer wanted to live like the life that he was living?
You talking about me? When did I realize that I wanted to stop?
Yes.
When I start losing everything. And I was really, excuse me, I was losing respect for myself. I was losing respect for my family. It almost felt like, I know God ain't going to forgive me, so I'm just going to keep living this. No, I can't live like that. I have to get on my knees. I have to pray. I have to turn my... When it got to that point, when it was too degrading and too demoralizing for me, even go out in public
people is always talking about me like he ain't no good. It was like I was at my lowest.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
So I compiled the book. I put my thoughts on paper. I got people was always talking about what I was doing anyway. A lot of them didn't even know I had a wife because I kept my wife in the house and away from the public. So a lot of them didn't even know I had a wife. They just knew that I was going sleeping. Every woman that came in a beauty salon or every woman that I've seen in the mall, I was hitting on. And it really got bad that I thought that every woman who looked at me, smiled at me, wanted to sleep with me. So I would run behind them. It really got bad for me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, did you have you since then, since you have stopped cheating, have you ever went back and apologized to those women that you have hurt? Was it, I'm quite sure someone probably had fell in love with you or what have you, or they just knew that you was just, it was just a sex thing or what?
Did I apologize to my wife or to the women that I was sleeping with?
Well, to the women that you hurt.
I wasn't accountable to them. I was just accountable to my wife.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, so to go back to
but
them,
they you know how women fall in love with married men. You said some of the women didn't even know that you were married, right?
Yeah.
And
well,
so
no,
those
I was
were,
saying that, yeah. No, I was
told
talking about
the
women
from the was jump, you weren't having a committed relationship. I mean, how did you?
When I dealt with them women, it was strictly sex, and I mean, I would just chill, you know, go over there and just have another place to go to. But a lot of the times, we was
wow.
in hotels. We was in and out of hotels, so it was the women. Now, when I was saying that people didn't know that I was married, I was talking about just people in general. I'm not talking about the women, just the women I was hitting on or sleeping with, because a lot of them knew I was married, and a few of them was when they found out, because women did fall in love or claim that they fell in love and wanted to be with me and so on and so forth, and well, I'm married, I can't be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so some women did, okay, well, you know, they crying, don't come back no more, and so on so forth. But you'll get over it. You know, I didn't have a heart that was concerned about that. I was more concerned about my wife and keeping my double life a secret.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't concerned about them. I was more concerned about her finding out. But once she found out and started complaining about it and started arguing and fussing, I don't want to hear all that. So I would run out, leave the house, and not come back for 2 days, go on for the whole weekend. She would keep calling my phone. I said, okay, boom. Now I would be like, okay, that means she's going to forgive me when I come home. So it was more like when I did come home finally, them 2 days, she was so happy to see me. What I did didn't matter. The fact that you
right.
came back home, whatever you did, you did. But
okay.
thank God,
I hate to really cut the show short, but I can't lengthen it because I don't have my the studio up. But we're going to have you back on the show, Rod. You know, this is a very interesting show and a lot of subjects we didn't get to touch on. Right. So we're going to have you back. I only have about half a minute left. And
okay,
I really want to thank you
for.
Right. I most definitely will. And I really appreciate you coming out. I appreciate everybody that came out and listened, the people that were in the chat room, the callers. And, you know, everybody have a safe 4th of July. Like I said, don't drink and drive, and don't drive and drink. I like talking to you, not about you. With that being said, good night, everybody.
Good night.